All right, and welcome to Sun Star Horror Cinema 6000. We are your hosts. I am Liam Gandara. This is
Tiana Gandara.
And what we're going to do is basically run down and fuck with your favorite movies, which actually are our favorite movies. It's going to be here and there, circle and square, but chances are you'll enjoy what we're doing because you like fucked up movies and so do we. So, Tiana,
So, yeah, pretty much it's like you're going to get bombarded with all the movies that we love and the reasons why we love them and the reasons why we don't love certain other movies. We're going to start off with one movie that just pretty much has taken a toll on the both of us, I think.
Absolutely. It's a movie that's wormed its way into our heads. It's Roman Polanski's 60s masterpiece, frankly. He's a piece of shit. And I hope he rots in hell, but it also turns out that he made a great movie called Rosemary's Baby.
It pretty much paved the way for cult movies.
Like, yeah. Specifically like, horror movies,
like,
yeah.
You know, 60s, 70s type of cult movies that were actually literally about cults, which is really cool.
He legit made shit like Friday the 13th and Last House on the Left and The Exorcist. He made shit like that possible with... And I hope he rots in hell. I hope he goes to hell. I hope he rots in hell. I hope he sucks the devil's dick until he chokes of devil's cum.
Polanski?
Yeah, I hope he dies.
Okay, yeah, no, I know, of course, but... Wait, he didn't have anything to do with The Exorcist.
No, but what I'm saying is that those choices that they made to go with that risky, let's kind of challenge religion, let's challenge the status quo. I think without that, you wouldn't have had the ability to make a movie like The Exorcist that would challenge Catholicism or whatever and be that successful, or a movie like House or the Amityville Horror
that challenged about religion. The consequences where like, you're not going to sell.
Exactly.
Like,
gonna
go
yeah.
See that movie. Like, oh.
Yeah, people were really. Definitely. I think people were afraid of fucking with shit like that back in the day. And I think Polanski, may he rot in hell forever, still took a fucking great risk, and the whole crew took a great risk, and it paid off, in my opinion.
Oh my god. Well, this is. Let me tell you this.
Let me say before you go on that I am the lesser fan of this movie. You are the true fanatic for this movie. You understand.
This is my go-to movie. This is. I fall asleep to this movie often. This is my comfy movie. I have a huge heart for cultist movies. I love seeing movies where it ends up being a fucking witch cult. I love it. Later on, I will review
Hereditary.
Definitely. But there's this one movie with the Hasselhoff.
Oh shit!
The Hasselhoff. It's called Witchery.
Oh fuck!
Witchery. If anybody has seen it, fucking shoot me some hearts or whatever. I don't know how we do it.
I guess we're gonna have to see this movie together because I don't remember this movie.
Yeah, but I told you about it. Like, it has the Hasselhoff.
Oh fuck! I have to see it. Yeah.
Anyway, we're doing Rosemary's Baby.
All right, so what we're going to do is the nature of the show is we watch a movie and we let you know when we're playing the very first track of the film, specifically DVD or Blu-ray. If you're watching it anywhere else, good luck. But it's the commentary is going to match up anyway, mostly, even if it's a few seconds off. So it's basically like Mystery Science Theater 3000 meets a fucking drunk haze of a movie review meets
some drunken people that feel like they have a fucking right to talk about this movie.
And they do.
And we do.
Despite their drunkenness.
Yeah.
All right, Chica.
Here we go.
Press play and I'll let you know when we hit. And we're hitting the Paramount logo with the first piano notes. And this is where.
Can I just say this song?
Your shit should
so
start.
Haunting. I.
Yeah.
This makes the movie.
Yeah. There's too much good about this movie. There's Mia Farrow's credits. Mm-hmm. She's the star of the movie. It's very rare in the late 60s, right?
Yeah. This is probably amongst her first. amongst her first.
John Cassavetes, that's interesting.
She playing actually does a friend a great little cameo in the remake of The Omen.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she plays the handler of Damien. The caretaker. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Of Damien.
Yes, yeah. In the 21st century remake. A few years ago.
The one with stupid, that's ugly, right. Fucking stupid fat-faced Julia Stiles. I'm sorry. I hate her. I'm gonna step on her.
Step on her.
It's fat face. I don't want to fucking sit on her face.
Oh, well, that's different.
But not in that way, though. Like, just like I want to slam my ass on her face a couple times. Because she just annoys me. Oh, I hate it.
That's still hot, though. You understand that, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's still
kind of hot. I'll probably, yeah, I could make it hot, actually.
All right.
To myself.
I feel like the 60s and 70s, their attempt at horror movies, the bigger budget ones, the ones with the great scripts, the great directors, they were the ones that felt the realest. They're really, except for maybe Hereditary, and we'll talk about it later, but with the exception of Hereditary, I don't think there's been a realistic horror movie since these days.
No, everything
I mean, so realistic where you... You didn't really think it was a horror movie until horrible things were happening, if you follow me.
I feel like nowadays they're kind of starting to get a little back on track, but I feel like we got so lost with the cell phone shit, the message this bullshit, and, like, all the remakes that were going down. Yeah. Like, it just was so lost, the idea of horror and terror and... horrifying. The viewer was just so lost. Like, I have to say, which is probably amongst, it's probably going to be a few casts away, but I really want to do It Follows, because that was like, the one movie that really...
I'm so down, yeah.
Really,
I feel like that's
reignited my love for...
Rare... Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
New horror movies.
Yeah, it's one of the very rare... great horror movies of the last 10 years. Like, because the last 10 years have been shit.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but It Follows. After the whole Insidious thing, Insidious, like, actually, I was like, oh, okay, cool. It reignited my love for being jump scared and all that stuff. But,
right.
And then it was like, okay, but you can only go so far with that. And then they did the same thing over and over and over. It Follows happened to, like, we gotta save it. I'm gonna save it, but let me just tell you that It Follows is very, very, very much one of my favorite movies of
2016 or 17, whatever.
It was so good.
It really was good. It really, I mean, amongst all movies,
Me satisfied.
Drama and romance, whatever the fuck. It really was. Dude, like, I'm telling you, Hereditary. I can't say I've seen all the very better movies of this year, but I swear it has to be up in the top five of the very better movies of this year.
Yeah.
The ones that aren't going to automatically picked up by, you know, streaming services or fucking award shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. horror movies never get their due. The thing about Rosemary's Baby is finally... it's getting more due than it ever did, and it's
not really. Still, nobody talks about it. A lot of people.
Well, because the disgusting. Well, and there's a good reason.
Oh, we should
the absolute piece of shit. No, it's okay. Right now, we're at the scene where we're just getting introduced.
Okay, so here. Okay, I read the book.
Yeah, break it down, Tiana.
Okay, so I read the book.
I've read the book too, by Ira Levin. Ira Levin wrote the novel.
We're at the scene where Rosemary and Guy are. At the, what is it, the Brumstone, what is it called, the
basement of the apartment building, it's called the Brownstone?
The Brownstone or something, oh my god, I'm fucked, the words are done. Okay, either way, so they're there, and they're just apartment hunting, and she falls in love with it, and they have this realtor with them. He is very much a ghoul for,
for the witch crew, right? The
for the
Satan gang.
For Roman and Minnie and
for Marilyn Manson and the spooky children.
Well, the Mercados.
The Mercados.
Yeah, the lineage.
The market people.
And
In the movie, he's oblivious. In the novel, he's part of it.
But I, you know, the more I watch it, the more I'm like, I notice he sticks his tongue out in weird ways, like kind of like a snake lizard like. He holds his hands up in weird ways.
Okay.
He moves like in very odd ways where I feel like he's a familiar. And in the book, you actually see that he is a familiar, and they cut his they cut these two fingers off. And in the movie,
you never see his two middle fingers.
There's a part where he's they're going up in the elevator, and this is fucked up. Their elevator person is this black dude with the fucking suit, and he's the elevator Bobby. And
he's the fucking elevator slave
conductor. And you see him, he's talking to them about like, oh, it's a great building, blah blah blah. And you see him kind of flicking away some lint off of the black elevator Bobby suit.
Ooh,
and you notice that his hands are like the devil sign, and he's missing the middle and the index finger.
I never noticed that. That's extremely
in the book. He gets
up.
Them chopped off.
Oh my god!
So that's really fucking.
That is so
cool.
Fucked. And very cool, but super fucked up. Yeah. Oh my god.
Fucked up, but yeah.
Fucking Tiana. Yeah. That. Okay. That's. And there he is. I'm smoking cigarettes. I'm walking down the streets of New York, and you need to shut your ass up.
Like, it doesn't matter if I go and join a witch's cult. And, you know, it's okay because we're going to make more babies later. What the fuck? There's something in there.
Litterbugs. You were wonderful, you litterbug.
Oh, by the way,
that's it?
Yeah, well, yeah,
that's
the
trenches conducted
them the night of the experiment. We trick our little children. Huh? The trenches
were too tall. That's where he reveals the truth about the witches in the
Well,
building.
This is what he knows from it. He's like, oh, I know about the Bromstone. This is what happened. Hutch is a mentor of Rosemary's. They lived in his building, and now they're telling him, like, oh, we got a place in the Bromstone. He's like, this is what I know about the Bromstone. They have a history of witchcraft. There were these two sisters that used to steal infant babies and conduct... rituals.
Okay. For the audience, we're now cutting to the night scene at the apartment where they just
their first
get home.
Night.
Their first night. They just
it's
get
so
home
all
the
black.
Mercados. Yeah, it's all black.
Everything's pretty much painted dark and black.
Nice.
Which is really cool because when Rosemary moves in, she paints everything white. Everything's white and yellow.
That's crazy, yeah.
And white and sun.
Oh, what a trip.
And this is where the... Oh, God, this is so gross.
I need to talk about this part.
I need to talk about this part because this is so not attractive to me.
But it's so fucked. It's so like, oh, my God, the 60s
The way he
sucked.
Takes off his pants. Oh, my God.
No, it's loveless
but
sex.
But it's still, yeah.
It's absolutely loveless sex, dude. Like, it's the worst. Like... And they're both into it, but not in any real passionate way. They're just like, yeah, this has to happen now.
She says, let's make love, and he's like, okay.
Ay, Jesus Christ. That's awful. So she's looking through the closet for something I don't even know. Oh,
she's exploring. Like, oh, there's shelves. We can eat her dinner.
Look, there's
shelves.
They got
take out. Look in there. I think they're cracking a beer. It's probably a beer, hopefully. At least with us, it would
it's
be.
It's a beer, but Jesus Christ.
And
dude.
She's like, oh, yeah, oh, beer. I prefer, like, wine. Well, then, yeah, like,
let's
it's just. I, that's what always bothered me. I'm like, you just opened a beer, dude. You want to already, like, you know, waste that beer?
And the lights go out.
Like, at least take a big sip. Okay, she does take a sip. And he's like, yeah, okay.
See, what we're trying
this
to say.
What bothers me right here is the way he takes off his. Look at. Instead of standing up and looking sexy, he just.
No,
lazy,
it's,
sits down. Look at the way he takes off his pants.
It's all just ritualistic.
Look at that. That's
yeah.
not attractive to me. That look at. No, I don't want to see you with your legs in the air, Liam.
You
take off your shoes like that. Look at, and then like, your balls are all like. Look at, that's not attractive. It's like you're
starting into the air.
That's cute the way she's doing it, but look at, she has never sound.
Well, she just has to be cute. He's disgusting. Ew. And then he's basically unsheathing his disgusting self.
Just very.
And meanwhile, like, she's like, you know, I'm naked
like,
now.
Making love in her house Jesus. For the first time. Like, oh, you know, God. Like. Ew, but look at, like, he's doing his ball sack. It's so gross. And that's it.
Yeah, so they're making out now.
Get right into it. And right into it, yeah.
And that's what they're doing.
And then he makes a joke in between, like this.
Okay, you're a devil worship. Oh.
Not yet, but
and then they play the music.
Not yet, though. He's just an absent-minded man in the 70s, which...
This movie is batshit, I swear to God. So the Yamaha commercial is playing. And it's just after they had sex. They're uncomfortable, boring, bullshit sex.
Oh, he's at work doing his thing.
And now he's at work, yeah.
He left her with the project, so he's
like... she's dressing up the kitchen. Jesus Christ, this movie.
Which, this part is it's a hidden closet that...
Yeah, I don't know if you remember if we even
touched on it before, but at the beginning there was a shelf, a big credenza that was blocking it, and they're like, why would she block this? The lady was 80 years old, how could she even have people? And it was blocking towels, but later you see it leads into... I thought you were Victoria
Venture. Oh, yeah. So, and then that, you want to think, okay, so then the landlord or the guy shopping the apartment is like,
knows what he's doing.
Just like the book, he was part of the cult, or
he was so stupid. At this point, though, see, Terry Gianofrio is still part of the plan. So we just introduced Terry Gianofrio. Rosemary meets her in the laundry room. It's just another girl, same age.
She's the one who previously had the necklace of Kaka.
Yes, as she is a prey upon the Castevets.
Yeah. Saved her from drugs, la-di-da-di.
Yeah, so she's been with him for a while. They've been praying on her for a while. Here comes Rosemary. They're not paying any attention to Rosemary. Actually.
But the one before her jumped out to her death, committing suicide, likely because she figured out the whole plot to make her the mother of Satan or whatever, right?
That's Terry Gianofrio.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. This part always freaks me out because I'm like, why are these crash... It stinks like shit. It's my good luck charm. It stinks like fucking cat crap. It's called tennis root crap. Cat crap.
It's got some stuff inside. I don't know. It's called tennis something.
It's a bunch of jive.
I hope it works.
I love that. I hope it works. Like, okay. Really?
Talking about Roman and Minnie Kessler.
They rescued me from being a hooker and they just made me...
Especially I thought they wanted me for some kind of sex thing.
Yeah. It's nice to know they didn't only want me for a sex thing.
I know, at that point, it was like, right. At least I was hoping it was just a sex thing. Now it's a fucking Satan thing.
I know. The sex thing was easy. It was like, lick Castevet's ass and suck Minnie's pussy. But now it's all fucking... Oh, I gotta give birth to the Antichrist. Like, I can't deal with this type of shit. This is too much. The original 10 was a dining. Anyway,
so now they're sort of making love, but mind you, this is after they already had the terrible rape love or whatever.
This isn't even. I feel like fucking
What is it? Guy is just... Oh, well, here we go. We're getting foreshadow of the satanic shit that's happening
still,
next door.
He's still
that, okay. Can we talk about the fact that they live in an apartment building where the walls are so thin that they can hear the satanic shit happening next door?
Yeah.
Anyway, so now we're at the part... This is the turn of the movie. Where...
Here we go. This is where it starts.
Yeah. This is where everything starts. They find...
You see the necklace prominent.
The necklace prominent on the dead corpse on the floor, blood around.
She jumped to her death. And right here is so awesome because you get to see how, like, insensitive the New York PD was at that time.
Well, because early on...
Ah, we got that already, okay.
Early on, I watched this movie, and I'm like, it's so fucked up how insensitive the cast of vets are, but I'm like, the cops are even less fucking sensitive.
I'm saying.
I'm like, as a dead body. It's New York, it's 1970, yeah. Move on.
That's what I'm saying.
We do. Everything's fine, right? She didn't kill herself, right? She didn't jump out of the window and kill herself, right?
I'm not telling you.
Marty, why don't these folks take a look, please? I knew this would happen. She got deeply depressed every 3 weeks or so. I told my wife about it, but she
So Cassavetes puts the blame on his
so
wife.
Good. No, they're so good at acting like...
Oh, yeah. They're perfectly well-rehearsed monsters.
Is that her handwriting?
I'm like, what is that? Like, before the truth that they heard, they were trying to induct her into the bidding.
Exactly.
She freaked out and threw herself off the building.
Or that's the thing. It's like that. This shit was so...
She said no, and they threw her out of the building.
Or honestly, the shit was just so silly and retarded that she's like, you know what, fuck this, and she fucking threw... You know, because she's like all addicted to coke and meth or whatever, or heroin.
She pretended like, okay, cool, I'll go with it, and then she threw herself out because she couldn't help to bear... She said wonderful things about
your husband. Oh, yeah.
I would have been like, okay, fuck, you know what? I'm down. Let me see where the 60.
Yeah, I'd have been like, all right, well,
I would have done it.
Maybe we'll get some powerful positions in government or something.
I would have done it. Like, yeah. I want to see.
Yeah, well, where is this going to lead me? Like, this might be actually kind of cool. So now we're at the scene where we're showing a naked body, and I honestly didn't even remember the scene.
It's Guy and Rosemary.
So it's Guy. Well, Rosemary's awake, and she's tripping on the last few
the
hours.
Energies.
Excuse me.
You know, like she's feeling like something's gonna happen. You know, but she's like, "Fuck," you know.
Well, what?
No, it's me in a new place, whatever. Like, you know, but she's seeing her friend that she's not even a friend. She just met her in the laundry room.
Oh, shit.
But she's foreshadowing what's going to happen to her.
Okay, well...
And at that time, those people didn't go to sleep to TV. They go to sleep to darkness. I grew up going to sleep to TV.
Oh, me too, dude.
I had to watch something.
I take that back. I grew up, but then at some point, they were like, nah, you go to sleep now with darkness.
So this is a great, like...
This movie is kind of a smack in your face, no matter what way you grew up, though. Like, if you grew up, all movies going to sleep are period blackness going to sleep. I think this movie is still telling you, like, I'm fucking with you hard, you know?
I feel like her dreams were trying to warn her, and she didn't pick up. Okay, and here she is.
So right here, Mita is talking to...
And she's so aggressive.
Rosemary. Minnie. About... Yeah, Biddy. I'm sorry. Yeah. Jesus. This is our first episode, so we're still working out the kinks. But, yeah. MIDI is like legit just really throwing too many bows at fucking that? Rosemary, like, hey, we're best friends, and here's a tea, and here's the ice cream, and it totally isn't made out of satanic fucking herbs.
It has no sense.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
This is where it shows you that Rosemary is like, she has a plan for life. And Minnie's like, oh, well, you know, we're going to take the first one, but not many more. Hoping that money will blind her.
Apparently, because I think all they want is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It's something that they've been doing for years, centuries, years. That's why I love it so much. It's like, oh god, the whole entertainment industry.
And then, okay, so after centuries of trying to do this shit, they finally got it in the mid-60s with Guy Woodhouse, right? And he's just a shit actor. He's an extra. He did some Broadway. He did a little comedy, but he's not known. He's like, he's kind of like Mike or Sam Witwer, like 10 years ago. Or...
No, he's so empty and so like nothing. He's still able to believe, like, okay, fuck it. If they say that, I'm gonna curse and get
into it. Yeah, exactly. He's basically like a pawn in a Hollywood jerk off game.
Which,
like,
according to some underground history, that's how.
That's how it works.
A lot of people are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we're at the scene where.
Oh, my toothbrush.
There's more beer. So we're at the scene where I guess, I don't know, this scene kind of trips me out because. I don't know, it's like, it's the middle of the road for all these characters, like.
He's still okay, though. He's still like a shit.
But... This is definitely after he had already talked to him.
No, it's not.
Said you?
No. She's telling him that, like, hey, I said that we can go to dinner with them. He hasn't met them yet. To thank me for
what I said about Terry. I don't know, man. I guess the way I see this movie, something tells me he's always been in on it, like.
No.
He's been part of it, but no, yeah, I guess
wasn't.
You're right. Like,
he was just always that empty to be.
He's just always that disgusting and empty.
Like,
yeah, yeah. Where he'd be like, yeah, fine, I can have a kid. Fucking,
he's a semi actor.
Yeah, he just cares about the fame of the money. Yeah. So right here you have fucking the two main characters being little stupid cuss to each other. This eventually leads to the rape, though. This leads to the rape.
He's still okay right here. But this is where it all changes.
I feel like he already talked to them, but he's grooming her. I
not
feel
yet.
Like,
right here is where it all changes. Right here.
Really? Okay.
After, like, when you see the smoke. What?
Really? When you see smoke.
Yeah. It's like, oh, what are you?
Here are some fucking drinks for you.
With your majestic stories, like what?
They're not alcohol.
These are Bellinis.
Plenty of drugs in every drink. Drink, drink, drink!
Vodka Blush. A.K.A. Bellini.
Hail Satan! They're very popular in Australia. That's my first fucking, like, fuck this. They're very popular. Okay, so I'm gonna get out of here. They're very popular.
Carpet!
You know, this is popular.
This is so
Australia.
Cute.
Yeah. Hail Satan. You come from Australia. Where Satan lives, you know, in the Bronx. I've been there. Go ahead, name a place.
Fairbanks, Alaska. I've been there. I've been there. All over
Alaska. Mm. Yes, Fairbanks.
Alaska.
You know, Anchorage.
Omaha's a good city, John. Never forget that.
Omaha's
a great city.
Baltimore?
Nah, Omaha.
John Waters.
Omaha. Japan's a good city. So is Canada. No pope ever
visits a city where the newspapers are all. Here we go. I heard he's going to postpone the wait till it's over. Well, that's sure. That's exactly what it is. All the costumes are rituals. All the costumes are rituals. They're talking about religion. I love that part.
Well, a fucking men. Can you not deliver the devil's baby though? Like. Just
oh,
something.
Cute.
Yeah.
Trying to still seem like.
I love Jewish Satanists. Well, weren't you, Well, that's strange. I remember being struck by a gesture you made in checking in the program to see who you were. What gesture was that? Well, I'm not sure now. It was a reactionary. Oh, I did a thing with my arms. My mother was having a fit with a kind of voluntary reach. That's it. That's it. It had a wonderful authenticity to it. No, no, I mean it. But my father was a... No, I mean it! Jesus Christ, dude. This movie's a fucking stretch. I'm gonna have to do another episode just to truly peel apart this piece of fucking crap. This movie sucks dick.
Shut up.
No, it is. But our second episode.
They do a lot of name
dropping. I think we have to do one more episode to really truly.
Well, no, we have to do an episode where we're showing the clips that are really.
And we gotta be more fucked up, like in a more controlled environment. They have children. One has two, the other has four. Oh, shit! You want a devil baby?
Minnie's always looking in, like, looking for.
Minnie's always like, who wants a devil baby?
Yeah.
Because I need to make a devil baby.
She asks all the right questions, and she's cute, and she knows how to do it.
And where's the devil baby?
Oh, yeah,
that's
fine.
Oh, you don't have to dry dishes.
So she'll be able to have mini.
I'll just make a devil baby.
Right here is where Roman's telling him, hey, I can give you fucking riches if you give me this.
No, 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 it's very interesting, Mrs. Cassidy.
I'm Minnie Roman, okay?
Here we're having the classic bedtime, about to get raped by the demon, but nobody knows, but what the fuck, does he know, or?
Oh, not yet, he hasn't.
So here's my problem, is I feel like he knows.
Oh, he's thinking about it. He's like, I'm probably gonna do
so that. Then he's part of this crazy Anton LaVey.
No, he just was introduced to it, where Roman just kind of offered him.
Aye, Jesus.
Yeah, give me your baby, and I promise you, I will get you that part.
This is what it's like watching an amazing masterpiece of a movie directed, written, and who the fuck knows. Yeah,
crew-wise. She's being the fucking inquisitor as her natural instinct is. And she's like, why did they take all those pictures down and they put new pictures up? She's like, clean places where there were other pictures. He's like, that's weird. He's like, Roman goes.
That is weird, but.
He's like, I'm gonna go back and listen. He's like, he had an interesting story. So I'm gonna go back. she's on her period right now, so they're like, okay, I'm gonna fuck with her. This is Minnie, and this is Laura Louise, which is one of their familiars.
Baby, it's weird, but even though I'm kind of buzzed and it's only 3 hours away, I can't wait to work tomorrow.
Yeah,
I can't wait to plug in couples and threes and fours on the computer and take them to their table and roll silver. Dude, I roll silver better than all of you already.
Either way, like, dude, I'm just gonna, like, you're fucking, you got it, like, you got it.
So just so the audience knows, I just got hired at a new Chantor, and I'm very happy to work in it, but we're not gonna let that fuck with our fucking review. By the way, what the fuck is going on here, Tiana? Give us a quick review.
So right here is where, Rosemary's, like, she's having a period, and she did not want to be bothered, but Guy had already told her the night before, like, I'm going to go and listen to Roman stories, Roman Cassidy's stories. She's like, okay, I'll be with myself, but
then she has
Minnie and her familiar, Laura Louise, end up barging in, and they're giving her the necklace that Terry Gianofrio had worn when they were courting her.
Stinky,
but she ended up throwing herself off the building when she found out what was going on.
Right.
You don't know this at this point, but so they're like, here, Terry would have wanted you to have it. And Rosemary's kind of vulnerable because she's on her period. She accepts the gift. Even though it smells bad, but she's like, she takes it. So at this point, Guy made the, oh shit.
It was Terry's.
Okay. Yeah, so she kind of takes it personal, but it's kind of still unfolding, so yeah, we don't know until the end. Oh, fuck. Honestly, it's one of those things, man. Like, a very bad person made this movie, but man, it's such a good movie. Like, you know? Like, I'm pretty sure Michael Bay totally, like, fucked a chicken or something, too, because can't put anything past that asshole. But that's going to close it for us for our first attempt. Tiana Gandara, you want to say goodbye to the lovely people?
I found it. I think I found it. I did. Hold on. I lost my nose ring. Okay, so here, let me say.
Let's keep going,
because I'm sorry, I lost my nose ring for a second, but I just found it. No, we're actually getting to some good parts right here, so at this point, Guy had already made the deal.
Oh, yeah.
Rosemary's feeling very disconnected. She's like,
I would say, yes. Well, you have to speak to my agent about that
end of it. But it still hasn't happened.
Witches
are still courting Guy.
What my wife is talking about is that very infamous, very fucked up scene. That it is the one that does very briefly show Anton LaVey, he's passed away, but back then he was the high priest of Satanism.
The Church of Satan.
Yeah, the Church of Satanism. And the reason that's important is because this movie really did attempt to approach Satanism, but it couldn't because there are too many variations of Satanism. So, the director may his penis fall off. Still try to understand Satanism at its core, Satanism as its relation to modern Christianity and also its relation to the hippie movement of the late 60s, early 70s, which was prominent in both London, Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco. And so that this movie was his attempt to kind of bridge all of that, and honestly, I think he did an amazing job.
He did.
Tiana, go ahead.
And I need to say real quick, at this point right now, we just came across where we realized that somebody, the part that he was going for, where when the movie starts, we see that he did not get the part. He finds out that the dude that got the part just suddenly went blind. And this is after the dinner.
Oh my God, yeah.
Roman and Mindy cast event.
Yes.
This is what pretty much starts it. So,
after you see it,
right
yeah,
here,
exactly.
Listen real quick. Was rehabilitated by this old couple of cast events. I'm sure I told you that. Rosemary's reconnecting with her old friend and kind of telling them, like, oh, so yeah, this is what happened.
And we cut to Red Roses.
The part because
we cut to Red Roses,
blind.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's still being charmed. You see it in her eyes right here. And he's like, sorry for being a dick, but I was too busy, like, you know, donning some I's in the satanic world.
My papa.
Crossing some T's and donning some I's in the satanic world.
Yeah, crossing some demonic T's and donning some devilish
some red eyes.
Some red Sith eyes, yeah, okay. Okay, alright, I see your shit. You son of a bitch. You monster. And now, barely now.
He's like, oh, this is like a baby.
For us, but for the audience at home, right now, actually, is where we finally get to see the terrible dream sequence where
everything
happens.
It's after this, right? This is the next main scene. Huh? Like this little baby. Because they told him so. Mister.
Okay, so for some reason, they're playing like a fucking...
They always play the same song.
But it's like a jazz standard, like, sexy...
No. She plays this by herself when she's trying to relax before when Laura Louise and...
Are you serious?
Yeah, This is the thing.
Oh my God,
Robert
that's crazy.
He's being very cheap in this, where he uses one song, and this is their romance song, and it's her one... Relax on.
Oh my God, that's so bad shit.
I promise you, yes. That's how it is.
Alright, so remind the audience, what movie are we watching? Because I can't remember.
Roman Polanski's...
Oh, yeah. Roman Polanski's Rosemary's Baby. Starring...
Mia Farrow,
yeah. So, we're watching. We're now halfway through, I think, right? Halfway?
We're just getting to the nitty gritty right now.
Barely. Oh, this is a scene where Guy tosses a brick into Mia Farrow's face.
Yeah.
And they all blame it on Mia Farrow.
Yeah.
What?
The cat. Here we go. This is the poison mouse. This is the spiked moose. So Minnie comes over to give them a little sweet dessert, which inevitably drugs Rosemary, where it will leave her weak for Satan to come in and impregnate her. She tastes it. At this point, she's tasting it. And he's like, there's nothing wrong with it. She's like, yeah, it tastes weird. So he's trying to make her feel guilty.
It's delicious. Hey, you can have that.
I don't eat it. He's like, but you gotta. That's a part of the whole ritual. Is you gotta eat it so that you can pass out. So she eats some of it to shut him up, and then pretends to eat the rest. She distracts him, and then she scoops it all into a napkin. But it still has some effect on her, where it does drug her. A little bit.
I'm sorry for this stuff.
You were.
It's making a full circle of the ball.
It's the Pope at Yankee Stadium.
Walking to a specially built academy in second.
Christ, put him on.
Listen to that crowd. Everywhere the Pope has been today, he's received this type of reception. But what's not worth this avenue?
Here you go.
We are being undignified, but this is a
special. Now she's feeling the effects. She's going to pass out.
That's a great spot for my Yamaha commercial.
Hey, you know, we can stop it in the rain.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah, it's okay.
All that booze. I didn't eat anything all day.
Where is
it?
To be continued.
We'll listen to it later. Ow. Heyo, this is Planet Horror Cinema 6000. We are your hosts. I am Liam Gundara.
I am Tiana Gundara.
We are movie freaks, particularly horror movie freaks. Also, sci-fi movies, superhero movies, and avant-garde movies, independent movies, all that shit. So the purpose of this show is to watch a movie with you, critique it, riff it, fuck with it, make fun of it, and then maybe get blown away by it all at the same time that you're watching it. So the movie we are going to watch today on our Maiden Voyage episode is Hellraiser Judgment. It's the 10th movie in the Hellraiser series and the second without
Doug Bradley.
Without Doug Bradley. Mm-hmm. And we have, Tiana and I have a history with Hellraiser. If you hear meowing and growling in the background, that is our co-host, Mister.
What do
you mean? He is a tuxedo cat who never shuts up, so you're always going to hear him, including when we watch the movie, so get used to that.
He's
anyway,
a cat that plays fetch, by the
he
way.
He plays fetch like a puppy, because he is a puppy, but he's a cat. So yeah, this is the 10th movie in the Hellraiser series, and it's the second without Doug Bradley, and that's not good. We don't like that.
No.
We are horror fans, right?
We don't like that at all.
But
we're open to taking in.
Yeah. You never know.
Good new cinema.
It could be good.
You cannot. This is where you cannot be cut off just because the character that you grew up with, that you can't shut yourself off from someone else's vision that could potentially be something great, you know?
Sure, and let's get this out of the
Especially
way.
Especially when it comes
let's
to
Let's get this out of the way. Both Tiana and I are fans of Rob Zombie's remake of Halloween.
Oh, yes.
So...
huge fan.
If that is a problem, or if you agree, then you'll definitely know what kind of show you're listening to. So, what do you say? So some ground rules. One, we drink and smoke often during this podcast, so feel free to do so, or whatever your thing is, if it's warm cocoa,
a good scotch.
A good scotch on the rocks. Do what thou wilt, shall be the whole law. But that's what we like to imbibe a bit and smoke a bit. If you don't, then you get to enjoy that type of high anyway when you listen to us.
Vicariously through us.
Absolutely. And then rule number two is no movie is off bounds. Every movie, including all the great masterpieces, have flaws. And so we are free to make fun of any movie. Rule number three, you're always going to hear the cat. All right, so let's get the show going.
Yes.
We're going to watch Hellraiser Judgment. This came out just last year. It's available on Netflix in the United States. If you have that, check your country. And we're starting the movie now.
In 3, 2, 1. And that's our cat. We are blasting the audio. If you hear an echo, it's our first episode. Forgive us. All right. So,
it just goes right into it.
Sounds like the devil from Legend.
Yeah. I like that. Oh, she's crying.
Yes, definitely subtitles. We're going to put on subtitles. So this is our first time watching this ever. Well, he's definitely trying to sound like Doug Bradley. Yeah.
It's not that bad, actually.
So far. Okay.
I mean, his voice is...
Yeah. I guess it's working. Nice. All
right. Goes right into it.
It does go right into it. That's good. Don't need a shit ton of opening credits for a direct-to-fucking DVD
see
movie.
Your life before, like, you know, the box.
Yeah.
Not now. Not ten movies later.
Yeah, exactly.
Just get into the...
It's almost like the Hellraiser series is like a very long, like a very stretched out TV series.
Yeah.
If you imagine like every movie to be like two episodes, like a two-parter episode, then there's now been like roughly 20, 22 episodes of Hellraiser over like 35, 40 years, something like that. 35 years, you know.
Yeah.
The first one came out in, what, 87, I think?
Oh, 87?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got, like, well over 30 years of, like, kind of the same story.
It should be, because it's the story of the box. Ultimately, it's the story of this box that has been passed around through... Probably centuries.
Right. And a French person kind of just made this all happen. What are you doing to
me, asshole? Well, yeah, that's another podcast. I think we definitely need to.
How we hate the French.
another podcast.
We don't hate the French at all.
Let's go to, what is the name of that one? Where we get the whole history of the
Lemershants
and...
Bloodline. That's the fourth one.
Good, great one.
That's Hellraiser 4, which famously or infamously directed by Alan Smithy, which is the miss... The
little ghost name.
The ghost name.
Yeah.
If you are ashamed of the movie you just made for whatever reason, whether it was studio pressure or you botched your own script or whatever, you went ahead and said that it was directed by Alan Smithy so you could escape persecution.
You can just sit and make fun of it.
Yeah.
You hear your friends making fun of it or whatever. Yeah.
Which blows my mind that people like fucking, what's his name? Batman and Robin and Batman Forever.
The director. God,
yeah. Yeah, the director.
Schumacher.
Joel Schumacher. Never just set out directed by Alan Smithy.
Because he was probably like, oh. Okay. Well, actually, I mean, that one did do good for its time, though. I mean, although
no, they,
the Batman movie...
They both did actually financially well.
Yeah.
We're laughing at it now
because
they're such shit movies, but... Back in the day, like, everyone was like, all right, fuck it. George Clooney's Batman now. Fuck it. All right, cool. Arnold Schwarzenegger's in this? All right, cool. Fuck it.
What is up with the nipples? That's yet another podcast that we got to do.
Why are we're talking about Batman with Hellraiser.
Okay, so real quick, I got to say, I dig this look. I dig the vibe so far. I like the grain of film.
I'm digging the grain of film.
But that's an easy.
That's an editing thing. But I still, or it's a post production thing. But
it's great style.
I like it. I like Scarface or whatever is fucking.
This cut up head dude with the little Oreo
cut up head face. Yeah.
I love it.
He definitely looks like he has scars on his face. Jesus.
They're not even healed yet.
So we can both admit we kind of don't really know what the fuck's going on right now, right?
No, I'm assuming that it's... I would like to believe that this is taking place in the mental institute.
Okay.
Namely, the Chouinard Institute.
Oh, okay. Is that the one from part two?
That's from part two. That's from, yes.
All right, we got Tiana Gadara with the fucking Hellraiser history lore here. This is good to know because I need to know this.
It might not...
But where she writes, "I am in hell, help me."
Yeah. Where Dr. Chouinard, where he.
It's named after
Julia.
Oh, okay. All right.
Julia Guglia. Okay, this is weird. I'm digging it though.
Okay, he looks like the fucking pervert from Cuban Centipede 2. Uh-huh. And then the dude with the beard looks like Dan Harmon. From Rick and Morty, so I'm having a bad time watching this.
It does look like him. Oh my
god. Ooh. And now he's tasting the medicine.
It is a guy. Look at the little tiny hand.
Oh fuck, maybe it is. God, why are Europeans so filthy?
What the fuck
is he eating? I'm kidding, of course. I love Europeans.
Oh.
Okay, so he's eating paper.
Pages of a book.
And bleeding from the mouth and then drinking
juice? This is quite beautiful. Visually, it's...
For an Inch Nails video.
Good looking. Yeah. You see the box? You missed it, Lee. There's the box right there up in the corner. Ooh. See it? Okay. Did you see it?
Okay. Right there, I see it. Right above Dan Harmon's shoulder.
Oh, God.
Oh, goody, sorry. God.
Oh, something's...
So is this a British production, since pretty much everyone I've heard so far has a British accent? Jesus.
Maybe not. Well, he doesn't. Dan Harmon doesn't. Sorry. Ooh. There's some sort of filter.
Yeah, I know.
Vomit that.
Somebody.
It's probably linked to his asshole.
Somebody.
It's linked to Dan Harmon's asshole. He's sitting in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Somebody clearly wants that dude's vomit. Oh. Okay. Alright, so this is a Hellraiser movie, and already the first.
Ooh!
Oh! We got naked girls, guys. We got naked girls. With fucked up gore faces.
Okay, so far, visually, this is beautiful. I'm really digging it.
Alright. All right.
Those are great.
Okay, these three naked women are now, with their fucked up faces, they're in a trough, digging in a...
trough of vomit.
Yeah. This is great. What the...
What is it?
Guilty. So far, this is a really amazing student film. And now they're explaining the notes they wrote to each other. This is, oh my god, this movie. What?
I like it. I like it.
Just as
a separate film, though. Like, I'm not.
It's got some great artistic visuals, but. Fucking so far, the script is garbage. What the fuck?
Those are some massive breasts.
Those are some very big titties. Oh, what the hell?
Ooh.
They're molesting Dan Harmon.
And eating him.
That's what he gets.
Alive. I love it.
Yeah.
So we're watching this movie with subtitles, just so we understand what the fuck's going on. And I kid you not, the subtitles are even more interesting than the movie itself.
Oh, did Tarantino do that part?
Well, okay, who's this?
I think it's Pinhead.
Okay, that's definitely Pinhead. It's not Doug Bradley. All right, so that's very interesting. Dan Harmon's now being sacrificed by a voodoo witch. What? What the fuck? Is this smoke from Mortal Kombat?
He's being ranked by something with like a gimp suit. Here. Oh, I gotta get. Oh, I gotta pee. Oh. Okay, so. Wow. Okay. Now we're. Okay, now the infamous ripping of the flesh, the entire skeletal remains are, oh, a full-on, she ripped off the entire flesh bodysuit in one, and these three beautiful big-breasted women are being shot with the blood, which is pretty cool. This is gorgeous. So what? Oh, this seems like the entrance to hell, if you will, like the check-in for hell. It's like, okay, you just finished opening the box, now you gotta check in.
Is this barely the opening credits?
I like it. That's awesome.
It's barely the opening credits?